Welcome in, podcast listeners. Encourage you to go download the latest Wins and Losses podcast interview, which is with Dan Wetzel. It's up. I think you guys will love it, from Yahoo Sports. We'll have another one this week. But in the meantime, all reaction to Kawhi to the Clippers, along with Paul George. We'll talk U.S. women winning the World Cup, as well as the men's loss in the Gold Cup final. All that and more. Outkick the Coverage podcast starts now.
Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis, live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Live from the Geico Outkick Studios. I hope all of you are having a fantastic start to your Monday morning. I am Clay Travis, and I am still in Los Angeles, where the earth has been shaking like crazy. And that's not even just a metaphor. It's literally been shaking. Let me take you into Friday night. We got a lot going on in the world of soccer and in the world of the NBA. But the most, I think, earth-shattering move of the weekend, Kawhi Watch, finally came to a close about 11 o'clock Pacific time on Friday night. It was unbelievable the way this news broke. Okay, so let me take you into Friday night in Los Angeles. About 8:20, we have a 7.1 earthquake. I'm on the 15th floor of my hotel next to the Fox Sports Studios, and I'm about to go out to dinner, just requested an Uber, and all of a sudden, the building starts to shake like crazy. Now, let me tell you something. I have somehow managed to be in the three biggest earthquakes that have hit in California in the last 15 years. I've been in town for all of them. There was a big one that hit in the area of San Diego. I think it was in April of 2006. I was down, I think it was Easter weekend. It was absolutely wild how insane it was. And that was the first earthquake I'd ever been in. I was sitting, like a lot of people out there, this is always wild. I was sitting, we were in bed. We had our youngest kid going down for a nap, and everything starts to shake like mad. And the bed's going crazy and everything else. And I turn to my wife, because everybody's taking a nap at the same time, and I'm like, this is a big earthquake. And so I'm like, well, let's get underneath the doorway. We pick up our two-year-old at the time. We get underneath the doorway, and I kept saying, man, this is a big earthquake. She's like, how do you know? I'm like, because we're on the 19th floor of a San Diego building, and it's swaying back and forth in a big way. And guess what? It was a big earthquake. And then we had the earthquake on Wednesday, and now we've got the one on Friday, all right? So this one is like a 7.1 on the Richter scale. It's moving in a big way. And later on in the show, we'll get Danny G in here to actually break it down in a big way, how exactly he felt as a longtime Los Angeles guy to be filling that building shaking like crazy. So I'm about to go out to dinner. And I go out to dinner, and the person that I'm going out to dinner with is connected to the Clippers. And that person is also a little bit in sports media, and it's just the two of us. And we're sitting down at dinner, and that person starts going through trying to convince me all the reasons why the Clippers make the most sense. And we're going to talk to Jason Whitlock in the next segment. He's going to get up early with us here and talk about the big news out of Los Angeles with Kawhi. But that person is running through everything. And the story that they want told is, they say, look, the Clippers are the only team that stayed completely silent. And they have $40 million in cap space. And I just think that you're overlooking the possibility of the Clippers, right? And the person saying, look, if you look at your poll that you put out, like, where do you think he should sign? I know the Clippers came in last, but totally making a case for the Clippers. So we sit down for the meal. It's a great meal. At the end, they bring the dinner. And then, boom, my phone suddenly explodes. And the first person I hear from is the vice president of Fox Sports Radio, Scott Shapiro. And he says, Clippers, oh my God, he did the Machiavellian move. And if you listen to my show, you know the argument that I have been making is, what if Kawhi is partly extending and dragging out this process because he wants the Lakers to have all their best free agents gone? And so when he re-ups with either the Raptors or the Clippers, he's actually created a major mess for the Lakers. And I think it was maybe just a byproduct that wasn't intentional, but that in and of itself was pretty extraordinary, I thought, the way that all shook and came down. So it's amazing. All over the place where I'm eating, everybody starts getting notifications. The Woj bomb has landed. After a full week of wondering when Kawhi was going to make his decision, we finally know. Now, this is what I think is utterly kind of extraordinary about this. It is that we didn't know. When you really break it down, usually you can look at the odds markets, and the odds markets start to move in a big way. Immediately I check, because I do the show Lock It In, I'm paying attention to the gambling odds. The Clippers had gotten all the way out to 20-1 because no one believed that the Clippers were going to be able to sign Kawhi. Almost immediately the odds market shut down, and then the Clippers become, eventually when they reopen, the new favorite to win the NBA championship. Now, I think this is fabulous in all respects for the NBA. I think Kawhi and Paul George both going to the Clippers in the same building as LeBron and Anthony Davis is outstanding. I give Kawhi a lot of props for not wanting to be another guy, right? He didn't just want to be another guy on a superstar team. He avoided LeBron. I'm going to argue later on in the show, break it down for you why I think Kawhi is the anti-LeBron. And not saying that LeBron is a bad guy, just that these are two examples of personalities that are very different in the modern day NBA. But right now we have a degree of parity that we haven't had very much in 20 plus years of NBA action. I can't wait to see how this is all going to shake out. I think most of you out there are either going to be Team Kawhi or Team LeBron, because I think you're going to have to pick sides, just like you had to pick sides in Phil versus Tiger, in Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady, all of these different scenarios where you have this kind of great rivalry going on. I think in one fell swoop, Kawhi Leonard has stepped to the plate and become a real rival to the King's throne in LeBron James. I also think the way this story came down is remarkable. In this age, and look, if you were in L.A. at all, this has been an obsession in L.A. to figure out what Kawhi's going to do. It's been an obsession nationwide, too. For the Oklahoma City Thunder to be exploring trading Paul George, for Paul George to demand a trade, for Kawhi Leonard to be calling Kevin Durant and Paul George, and for none of that to really go public in any way is extraordinary. For the Lakers to be sitting courtside, LeBron James and his agent, Rich Paul, to be sitting there watching Zion when the earthquake happens that people in Vegas can feel, and for all of that to take place and no one to know that Kawhi's going to the Clippers, I thought it was amazing. It's rare that a sports story breaks and I say, holy crap, and I didn't say crap when I saw the news, but I was just in disbelief over the way this went down. LeBron, I think, and his agent, Rich Paul, have made themselves a little bit of targets. I think the big takeaway here is that the management of your team matters in a substantial degree. If you look at the way this thing went down, I think you got to give credit to Steve Ballmer. I think you got to give credit to Doc Rivers, to everyone involved in this process in general. I think they're a lot stronger organizationally, the Clippers are, than anybody is at all in the larger universe of the Lakers. I don't think Jeannie Buss is that trustworthy. I don't think Rob Pelinka is. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just think they're a different caliber, way below in terms of their overall talent than in management, than what the Lakers had to bring to bear. And so I think if you're LeBron, you had to believe, man, we're this close to a championship. And then everything, the rug just gets yanked out from underneath you. The Lakers go from the favorite to the third or the fourth, most likely to win a championship. Not a bad position to be in, but just a totally different world than it would have been if Kawhi would have joined them. So I can't wait to unpack this with all of you throughout the entirety of the show. I'm going to bring in Jason Whitlock. He was the only media member that I can think of who actually predicted – that Kawhi was going to sign with the Clippers, and he actually laid out his rationale. We'll hear from him why he believes that was the right move, what he thinks about the storylines going forward. We got a lot to get to. We got soccer-related events to get to. The U.S. women win the championship, the men in the Gold Cup final. All of that still to come, but we are obviously going to spend a lot of time on Kawhi and Paul George to the Clippers and what it all means. Jason Whitlock is up next with us. I am Clay Travis. You are listening to Outkick the Coverage. Thanks for spending your Monday with us here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Welcome back, Geico Outkick Studios. There weren't very many people who correctly predicted that Kawhi Leonard was going to head to the LA Clippers, but one of them was Jason Whitlock, and I'm sure we're never going to hear the end of this now that Whitlock was one of the few media prognosticators to get this right. Where were you as we had our second earthquake in Los Angeles? Were you awake? Did you have notifications set up on your phone? How did you become aware of this this news on late Friday night in L.A.?
I was awake because of the earthquakes and watching TV, and then I went into a bedroom where my TV was still on ESPN, and I saw it at the bottom of the screen, or I saw Linda Cohn talking about it, and, you know, was just ecstatic and just like, damn, nailed it. And, you know, I felt pretty good about my feeling on it, but to see it come true, and, you know, look, I am going to ride this for a while. You keep saying one of the few. Who are the other people that nailed it?
I don't know. I'm sure there's other people out there, but I don't.
Mean, so I was the only one. All right, go ahead.
It's possible you were the only one. And we talked about this. Like, the Clippers stayed totally under the radar, and they didn't get any attention at all during this process. And many people said it was down to the Raptors and it was down to the Lakers. What made you think that the Clippers were still alive and might be able to make a play for Kawhi?
Because Kawhi Leonard had made it crystal clear he wanted to come home to Los Angeles. So that's one factor. The second factor, it just became like, okay, if he wants to come home, the Lakers have AD and LeBron. What's the delay? Just say, hey, I'm going to the Lakers. And then I also believe that Toronto got lucky winning the World Championship. And I think that Kawhi Leonard, no, he'll never say it, but I think Kawhi Leonard knows they got lucky. It took a boatload of injuries for Golden State to lose that title. It took one of the greatest, luckiest shots in the history of basketball for Toronto to make it out of the second round and beat Philadelphia. I think Kawhi Leonard's smart enough to look around at that team that he had around him in Toronto. I was like, man, run this back. We can't win another championship here. And plus, there was just no reason, if he was headed back to Toronto, why the delay? And so if the guy wants to go to L.A. and he keeps delaying, it just kept making more and more sense, he's just giving the Clippers time to get a second superstar, a second star to play alongside him. It just made perfect, to me, obvious sense that he was giving Jerry West and the Clippers time to get a deal done.
All right, let's unpack what this all means. First of all, the city of Los Angeles now is the epicenter for one of the best rivalries we have ever seen in terms of one city, right? And maybe it's the best rivalry we've ever seen in terms of one city, with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard on one side for the Clippers and with LeBron and with Anthony Davis on the other side for the Lakers. You have to buy stock in one team right now. Who do you like and why?
No, I'm all in on the Clippers. I just think Kawhi just having the balls to do this and not joining LeBron and forming some super team and basically, you know, I'm going to come into the same building and I'm going to declare war. I'm going to help take you out. I just think it's tremendous. So I like what Kawhi Leonard's doing, and I don't think we've ever seen, it's not since Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, Well, we have seen two athletic perimeter defenders at their level, Kawhi and Paul George together. That reminds me of Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan. And so I just think they're, you know, LeBron's going to be 35, so they're younger than the duo Anthony Davis and LeBron James. I love the Clippers coaching situation with Doc Rivers. I think that's superior. And then I just look at all the depth. Listen, if Kawhi had gone to the Clippers by themselves, I thought they were a championship team. And I think adding Paul George, another shot maker, to Lou Williams and Patrick Beverley and Montrezl Harrell and just all the pieces they have, I just think the Clippers are far better and potentially could turn into a dynasty.
I am fascinated by Kawhi Leonard, and I want you to follow me along this path and see if you agree. Because in so much of the decision-making that he seems to embody in this modern NBA, he is zagging where everybody else is zigging, right? I think the fact that he has almost no social media presence, I think the fact that his team kept totally silent throughout this process and there weren't tons of leaks surrounding it, that he didn't want to be a member of a super team with LeBron and Anthony Davis, that he quietly recruited. There are reports that he tried to get Kevin Durant to join him. There are other reports, obviously, that he was the linchpin in making this Paul George thing happen, that he was on the phone with Paul George making these arguments, and he got Paul George to believe into what he was arguing. I mean, isn't there a strong take here that Kawhi is in many ways the anti-LeBron James, and that people out there listening to us right now and anybody who's a sports fan in general, that often creates a great deal of interest by itself. If you think about golf, you know, you were a Tiger or you were a Phil guy. Back in the day, you were a Magic Johnson or you were a Larry Bird guy. Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning. We've had a lot of times when the stars of the league have been kind of different guys, right? They're individual, the way, the vibe that they carry and everything else. I think there's a possibility in the city of Los Angeles we have this now. Are you buying into that idea?
Here's what I buy into. I'm not going to call him the anti-LeBron because I think people will take it as a negative and that is a shot at LeBron.
Yeah.
However, having said that, he is completely different than LeBron in a way that I like. This dude is committed to basketball. He's not trying to be a movie star. He's not trying to be sitting on a TV show and talking to Drake and all the other things that LeBron is doing. And there's a lot of people that think like that doing all the other things that LeBron does is a positive. I don't. I think that you max out as an athlete, and then you transition into these other things when your career is over. Trying to do it all right now in the middle of your career is why I believe LeBron James is going to retire from the NBA with three titles. And so I don't think he will have maxed out his career. And everybody can say, oh, he went to nine straight finals. He was sitting in a week in Eastern Conference, and every year he went to the, you know, to the finals. That's great. The league is just on how many championships did you win. He's going to underachieve because I think he's tried to do too much and not in the proper order. And so I love that Kawhi Leonard's like, you know what, I'm going to max out as a basketball player. This could potentially, the Clippers could be the third different team he leads to the NBA Finals and a title. That would be amazing. Last week, and I'm going to have to walk this back this week, last week I argued that Kawhi Leonard was somewhat limited on how big of an NBA superstar he could be and where he'll finish as an all-time great. I compared him to John Havlicek. After this move, and if he has success with the Clippers, because having success with the Clippers, if he wins a title this year and ends up destroying LeBron James, the end of the LeBron James' career, this dude was going to put himself in the argument as one of the five greatest players in NBA history, and it's mind-blowing. And he's done it in a completely different way than LeBron James, and I do think there will be some people very attracted to that and respected. I think this has been great for the NBA to have these two guys and these two teams in the same city, in the same building. It's going to be a great storyline.
Let's go back to the news of this breaking. There were a lot of experts out there giving all sorts of different opinions, all sorts of different takes. It's rare when we have the odds markets. For instance, the Clippers were 20-1. They're now the favorite to win the NBA title. A lot of times this stuff leaks. I am still just so impressed, and I want to walk you through this, and we talked about it a lot so far in the show. But you had a guy like Paul George demand a trade, request a trade, whatever you want to say. Usually that's a major story that gets out. You had the Oklahoma City Thunder trying to get him traded. You had the LA Clippers working to put together this move. They have this secret meeting in Malibu. Evidently, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard met in person. LA is a huge media market. Everybody out there is chasing this story. And yet, none of this gets out at all. I'm really kind of astounded by the discipline of Kawhi's team and everybody else in that was involved in this trade and this story, that none of it ever got out publicly before we got the announcement around 11 o'clock Pacific time on Friday night.
I'm going to go a different direction, Clay.
Yeah.
I'm going to go a different direction. I think what it speaks to, quite honestly, you know, as a journalist, I'm saying this, and just as a 52-year-old grown man, the reason why stuff leaks is because people want it out there.
Yeah.
There's this myth that there's these great journalists who talk sources into giving up information, and that used to be the case, but not now. Because of everything is access journalism, information is being exchanged, quid pro quo, for you, I'm going to give you this information, you're going to cover me this way. And so all this proves to me is that this information that we get, all the rumors and gossip, is because people want it out there. If you don't want it out there, it's not that hard. Don't tell people. And, you know, if you don't want the paparazzi to see you and to videotape where you are, it's a lot easier to avoid than the way people make it seem. And so all this alleged great journalism and blah, blah, it's all a bunch of BS. It's all orchestrated. I'm going to give you the information. I'm going to be here at a certain time. Take pictures of me here. The stuff's all orchestrated, man.
It is kind of fascinating the way this goes out. Now, do you think, having said that, Magic Johnson, immediately as soon as Kawhi calls him, it's like he tells everybody that Kawhi called him.
Yeah, his ego.
Yeah, yep. he needs to be in the center of the story. We certainly had the Raptors, like with Drake and everybody else. I mean, it was impossible not to know everywhere that Kawhi was going with the cameras that were following him. Do you think that Kawhi's people use that a little bit as a test to see whether or not other – like the Clippers were clearly the team that was talking the least by far. Do you think that ultimately was the reason they were able to get this done, that Kawhi wanted to see who he could trust?
No. And again, I could be wrong here, but I think that Kawhi Leonard, once LeBron James arrived with the Lakers and Kawhi Leonard said he wanted to play in Los Angeles, I think it was always the Clippers, because I don't think he wanted to team up with LeBron James. He's, you know, I'll quote my favorite television show. It's like from The Wire, the character Marlowe, he didn't want to team up with the Barksdale crew. He wanted to be the king. And so he's like, no, I'm good, man. Yeah, y'all keep doing what y'all going to do. I'm going to do my own thing. That's who Kawhi Leonard is. I think it was always the Clippers. And that's why the Clippers didn't put a bunch of information out there, weren't interested in leaking things. They were going about the work necessary to secure Kawhi Leonard, and that was trading for a Paul George or getting Kevin Durant or whatever. They were about doing the work. Everybody else, the late arrogance perhaps and incompetence on the Lakers' part, thinking, well, surely to God he won't go play for the Clippers. Their organization's brand is trash. And then Toronto sitting there thinking, well, maybe he'll stay here to run it back and, you know, we'll defend our title. But I really think the guy early on decided it was the Clippers, and the Clippers just had to stand pat, do their job, and not make any noise. And it was, I won't say it was, because it certainly wasn't easy, but I just don't think they had any problem staying in between those white lines because they were in the driver's seat.
How much do you love this story? I mean, like, let's just take a step back and think in general about the NBA. Oftentimes we've had one dynasty after another. There hasn't necessarily been that much drama. We got a long time till the season actually kicks off. I'm thrilled about this, right? I think Kawhi to the Clippers and the drama that we've created just in LA, all the different teams that could have a chance, all the different moving parts. I mean, I think the NBA got this as good. Like, if you're Adam Silver, you have to be ecstatic, right?
You would think, and they certainly should be. To me, there have been, you know, the only storylines, and again, this doesn't reach that level yet. It's got to play out. But I thought Magic and Larry in my lifetime was incredible. I thought the Michael Jordan trying to get over the hill, trying to get over the Celtics, trying to get over the Pistons, and then finally becoming the dominant player, incredible storyline. I think LeBron's been an hell of a storyline. I don't put him on the same level as Magic and Larry or Michael, but this to me, now Kawhi coming to L.A., to take LeBron James out, I think that could end up rivaling Magic and Larry and the Michael Jordan storylines. I haven't been this excited about an NBA season since, you know, 10 or 15 years ago or whatever the hell Rick Smits and the Pacers were contending and Reggie Miller were contending for NBA championships. I cannot wait for this NBA season. I live here in Los Angeles. The number one story is going to be right here, 15, 20 minutes from my apartment. This is awesome.
Let me take a step back outside of this story. Also, another huge story. What's your take on earthquakes? You grew up in Indianapolis. You also have lived in Kansas City. I've been out here for the double earthquakes. You've been out living in L.A., I think, for 9 or 10 years, but the last several days, the earthquakes, last week in particular, pretty unnerving. What did you think about them in general?
Yeah, they were definitely unnerving and definitely have had me on the internet looking up, hey, what should you do in an earthquake?
Have you climbed underneath a desk yet? Have you adopted?
No. No, I'm not going to climb under a desk. If the building's going to fall, the building's going to fall. But, you know, I'm just, do I have water in my home? Do I have, you know, some soup or whatever, some food so I can survive for a few days? I've started looking up that. I haven't taken action yet, but I'm going to have some kind of little survival kit in case the big one or a major earthquake ever hits. But it's a little bit unnerving, but I can't spend my life worried about it. I've still lived in Kansas or Missouri. There's tornadoes. You know, I survived a major blizzard when I was a kid in Indianapolis where we were trapped inside of our apartment for what felt like a week. So, look, if you're going to go, you're going to go. Earthquake, tornado, car crash, whatever, bus hitting you, it's going to happen. You can't avoid it.
We're talking to Jason Whitlock at Whitlock Jason on Twitter. By the way, if you haven't heard it, go listen to our Wins and Losses podcast. He was the first guest on the podcast, and I think you guys will love that. You, I think, enjoyed doing it. Feedback has been great for people who haven't heard it.
No, I really enjoyed that podcast. Someone made a good suggestion, Clay, in terms of someone needs to do a long-form podcast interview of you so people can hear your entire backstory. Someone tweeted that, I think, to both of us, and I thought, you know what, that would be good. And I'm, you know, maybe one weekend you need to turn the microphone over to me and let me interview you.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's do that. Let's plan on that down the line. Last question for you, and I appreciate the time here on Monday morning. People may or may not have seen Speak for Yourself yet. For everybody out there who's listening to us on the radio show, likes you, following you on Twitter, at Whitlock Jason, what pitch would you make on why they need to try out your television show and how can they find it?
Why would they need to listen to my show? Because I'm Nostra Whitlock. I got the inside information. Look, man, I think we're having a very honest, fun, unique conversation that's not catering to Twitter, that's really authentic. You know, I think a lot of stuff on television now is catered toward Twitter, and it's very dishonest. We're not having that discussion, and, you know, we're not taking ourselves too seriously. We're not getting out over our skis and trying to do too much. You know, we're not going to pass ourselves off as the authority on a certain subject or that unless, you know, we really feel like we have something. And so I just think Marcellus and I and Uncle Jimmy and Darnell are, you know, having the most fun you can have on TV while still having a unique, raw, provocative, honest discussion.
Outstanding stuff as always. Go listen to Jason Whitlock on that podcast. Watch him on television. FS1, good stuff, and follow him on Twitter at Whitlock Jason. Talk to you again soon, man.
Thanks, Clay.
When we come back, I'm going to bring in the Lakers' number one fan in the world and have him try to spin zone Kawhi dunking all over the purple and the gold. This is Outkick the Coverage on Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Welcome back, Geico Outkick Studios. You just heard Jason Whitlock with us. We now bring in the favored member of the Purple and Gold Nation. He is Danny G. And first, before we get to the Lakers, you were texting with me during all the earthquakes that we were having, in particular the one that we had on Friday. You've been out in L.A. for a long time. That was a big earthquake, right? Like, that was not a small interaction there.
No, not at all. And it's funny because Tinderoni with me at my place, and we had just got done, let me clean this up for our morning show, a Bible study. We just finished our Bible study, and things started rocking. Now, I'm in a high rise, so it
How many stories are you up?
I am three stories up.
Okay.
Which,
that's
you know,
not
doesn't
really
sound
a
like
rise.
A lot.
Well, yeah, but, I was 15 stories.
Right, that's a lot.
In a
worse.
Hotel.
But see, my building was built when Bob Hope was running Burbank, California.
Right,
so,
it's old school. It hasn't exactly been earthquake modified.
Exactly. Like, it looks nice on the outside, but when you're on the inside during an earthquake, you realize, uh-oh, ruh-roh, they might not have made this, you know, to go to 2020 with earthquakes. So it was shaking, and as soon, and it lasted a long time. It was rolling. It was more of a rolling quake than it was where you just get jolted. And then you have others where it just feels like the earth is rolling all crazy underneath of you. Well, this earthquake, it was more of the rolling type. It lasted for what felt like a good 40, 45 seconds. Now, she was pretty scared. Just kept telling her, relax, it's all right. It'll go away. It's good. And she told me, do you think this is the same epicenter as yesterday? And I said, yeah, but this one was stronger. And this was my Whitlock moment. I told her, 7.1.
So you nailed it.
We go to our cell phones. Sure enough, 7.1, Ridgecrest, California, a naval base out there, which I've had the privilege of DJing for a hangar party several times for military night. Really nice people out there at the Navy base. And that was my first thought. Oh, crap. Thank God we don't have a big city out there in the desert, but I know we have those bases there for the Navy. So my first thoughts were, I hope they're okay there.
So let's go into the news itself breaking. Did you have notifications set up on your phone? Were you awake? Because it's late,
yeah.
Right? I mean, it's 2 a.m. on the East Coast. It's right around 11 o'clock Pacific time when this thing breaks. I said Scott Shapiro was the first person to text me, and he must have been like on this like crazy because he texted me like 5 seconds after it broke, and I had just checked Twitter a little while before that. What was your immediate thought?
Honestly, I wasn't surprised because it had taken so long, and last week when you and I were on the Dan Patrick show filling in for him, you actually laid out a reason why you thought it would make sense for Kawhi to go to the Lakers. So not to put you on blast, but you actually were trying to get into Kawhi's mind.
I made the argument to this is where I think I messed up, and we'll talk about this some an hour too. I just took silence to mean inaction. And I think sometimes we have this natural disposition to believe people who are talking the most are doing the most. And where I misthought, and we're going to start off hour two talking about this some, was I just thought when the Clippers were not involved in any of the leaks, when there weren't really any stories about their meetings and everything else, that was indicative of inaction as opposed to them just being what I think is the truth, incredibly disciplined.
Yeah.
And they were working on their process, but they didn't want it to all play out in the media.
I never wanted it to be a super team anyways. When you and Jason were together doing one of your road shows at the beginning of last week, I actually liked when you guys were laying out why the NBA would be more exciting.
It is much better that they didn't go to the Lakers.
For sure. And see, I don't want any haters because there's so many Laker haters. And you know this better than anyone. Success equals good for you, but you're going to have throngs of haters just because you're doing good. Well, look how many haters have come out of the woodwork the past 48, 72 hours all over the Lakers. It's almost like the media and people out there, sports fans, love to build the Lakers up high into the heavens just so they'll fall even harder onto the ground.
The moves that the Lakers make, all right, yep. And we haven't even talked about Russell Westbrook and what he must be thinking and everything else, but the moves that the Lakers have made so far, which ones do you like the most? How good do you think this team is? How optimistic are you?
I mean, I think that Vegas has the odds pretty much right where they should be.
And
right,
we're
going
to talk to Todd Furman, by the way, in hour two of this program to break down the latest on the odds. And we've got the final later this afternoon. We're taping the final year one show of Lock It In. So we have done, I think, 180 shows for Lock It In. If you haven't checked it out yet on FS1, we're going to be back for season two starting in August. I get a little bit of time off for television, so that'll be much enjoyed. But what would you say from a Laker fan perspective you think about the moves they have made once Kawhi let the Lakers know that he wasn't coming?
Well, I like the Danny Green signing. I know they paid overpaid a little bit.
Yeah,
but,
even at $15 million a year.
But look, Seth Curry got $8 million.
Yeah, but J.J. Redick, I think, only got $13
million. Terrence Ross got, what was it, $10 million? Something like that. Scrubs in the NBA are getting $10 million right now.
There's no doubt that the NBA, if you're fortunate enough to be on one of these rosters, that's good. What about Caldwell
Pope? I didn't mind that. I mean, that's the one where I kind of rolled my eyes a little bit because he's a clutch guy.
Yeah, and it feels like Rich Paul is taking care of him because of who his agent is.
Seemed more like a favor. I would have rather had Jamal Crawford with that money. But I think the Boogie deal is okay.
If he can stay healthy. I'm not sure he's got anything left.
Well, that's what he looked like in the end of the NBA Finals. Game two, he looked okay in the Finals, but obviously it didn't end well. But he's only 29. If he can get healthy, stay healthy, Lakers got a steal because they signed him for only $3.5 million.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's where you have to be cautiously optimistic, is you did not have to give very much money in general to him. So that certainly works in your favor, I think. But yeah, I like where the Clippers are. I like their roster. We're obviously going to spend a lot of time breaking this down. Jason Martin is actually going to step in and join us as well for part of hour two and hour three. We wanted to get his reaction. He obviously set in and helped guest host on Thursday, Friday. Like I said, Todd Furman is going to join us in hour two, and we'll replay if you missed Jason Whitlock in hour three for those of you waking up on the West Coast, but that's still a ways away. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. This is Outkick the Coverage. Up next, Breakdown continues, plus soccer talk on Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Live from the Geico Outkick Studios. Appreciate you spending your Monday morning with us. We, of course, are unpacking a lot of the drama. One of the most fun stories I can remember in a long time. One of the most shocking stories I can remember in a long time surrounding Kawhi and Paul George ending up members of the Clippers. The drama that is going to ensue from both the Clippers and the Lakers, with four of the top, what, 8 or 10 players in the NBA all playing in the same building. The battle for Los Angeles will be exhilarating. The way the story all came out, we also got the U.S. women winning the World Cup. We may talk more about soccer tomorrow, honestly, because I still feel like most of you out there are shocked by the outcome of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard to the Clippers more than you are by the U.S. women being as dominant as they were in their win to win the Women's World Cup. But let's go ahead and start to bring in the full group here. By the way, we're going to talk to Todd Furman in the next segment. He will break down all the odds movements that we have seen in the wake of Kawhi and Paul George to the Clippers. But Jason Martin, you set in on Thursday and Friday. You're a big NBA fan. Were you awake? Because we were on the West Coast. Danny G and I were just talking about being on the West Coast amid all of the earthquakes and everything else that were taking place. Were you awake when this news came down? Did you have alerts on your phone? Where were you when you found out about what was happening, and what was your reaction?
I was very much asleep, Clay. I woke up I woke up Saturday morning to it.
And there's a huge number of people on the East Coast who are listening to us in the Central time zone. Even people in the Pacific time zone, honestly, because this didn't happen until 11 o'clock at night. It was Friday. A lot of people are tired by the end of the week for sure. And so I think the number of people who knew about it immediately was low. I certainly would have been asleep if I hadn't been on the West Coast. So you woke up, and that's an interesting angle because I think there were a lot of you out there having this same reaction. You woke up, you do probably what a lot of people do, right? Lean over, look at your phone, and your reaction was what?
Wow. I think that was like my first reaction. I said, man, I should have stuck by my guns because I had said Clippers forever, but now I can't take credit for it. Because since that point, I've backed off it over the past 7 to 10 days because I listen to every expert slash prognosticator slash predictor slash I've got inside sources slash everything else trying to figure out this enigma that is Kawhi Leonard. And then when I saw Paul George, I kind of was just taken aback. I just kind of sat there and stared at the phone for a second and wondered, well, what did Oklahoma City get? And then I saw what they got. And then I started to try and figure out, why did Sam Presti do this? And then it totally made sense to me. He had to do it, first of all, because Paul George went to him and said, look, trade me. So at this point, if you're Oklahoma City, you've already seen what it's like to let a superstar leave your team and get nothing in return when Kevin Durant did it 3 years ago. You couldn't let that happen again. And here you had a unique window, Clay, in that Sam Presti and Oklahoma City knew that the Clippers wanted Kawhi Leonard, and the key to Kawhi resided on their team. So they were able to barter, not just with their guy, but they were also basically able to trade the package of Kawhi Leonard and Paul George to the Clippers and get an unbelievable motherload in return. Now, who knows what that ends up being, but this was fascinating, and I loved every second of it. We talked last week, Clay. I wanted this elite-level parity, and boy, do we ever have that now.
Now, are you with me that you find – I know the U.S. women won the World Cup, and ordinarily that might be a lead, even though this happened on Friday. Are you with me that you're far more interested in Kawhi to the Clippers and the story of that than you are the U.S. women winning the World Cup?
Oh, absolutely. I was thinking about what I'm going to do on my show tonight here in Nashville, my hour, and basically I'm not going to talk about the women at all.
Yeah.
And really, I think it's a compliment to them that I just expected this is what was going to happen.
Yeah.
I think that I have enough respect for what they do that this didn't move the needle for me. It's just like, well, of course they won. They're awesome. They're great. But this, I mean, this Kawhi story is absolutely gigantic. He basically held the entire NBA in the palm of his two-time NBA Finals MVP and champion-winning hands. And he made an incredible decision. Not only did he make a smart basketball decision, but no one saw this Paul George thing coming. Not even Paul George. Paul George's reps came out and said, we're not friends. Kawhi just looked at him and he said, that's a wing and a great two-way player just like me. Imagine the defense, Clay, with Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and Patrick Beverley. I don't know who's going to be able to score against them. But Kawhi, basically, he's some kind of basketball savant that made a perfect decision to go get the guy he thinks complements him, the guy that he thinks can make him better, and vice versa on the floor, and a dude that he knew wanted to be in L.A. And just like I believe Kawhi didn't, Paul George didn't take a meeting with the Lakers last year because he didn't want to play with LeBron James either.
You know, what is interesting is there's so many different angles to unpack this, and I want to hit this one here. Where I felt like I always like to go back and assess how I did talking about a big story when we get a surprise like this. And we just talked to Jason Whitlock, and if you missed it, we'll replay that interview in hour three. But Jason Whitlock was the only media member who predicted the Clippers. And we talked about that. We went out to dinner on Saturday night here in L.A. And he said, you know what? I like to play chess. And he said, from a chess maker perspective, I felt like everybody was overlooking the Clippers and all of the moves that they had to make. And the pressure that the Clippers would have been under if Kawhi had decided to go to the Lakers. Steve Ballmer has been for generations, basically, fighting battles on behalf of Microsoft. And it's interesting, and I'm kicking myself for not thinking about this from the perspective of the owner. But I went and I listened to Business Wars recently on a long drive with my family, and it was about the rise of the internet. Netscape versus Microsoft and the browser wars, honestly. And if you were old school and you remember that a little bit, you know, like Netscape was going to be the browser that everybody used. And then Microsoft realized that they had not been on top of the way that the internet was evolving and that their entire business was threatened. And so they started to build out their own Microsoft operating Windows service, and they were embedding Internet Explorer in as a part of it. And now Netscape Navigator, which was the original browser, right? I mean, it was the original creation that allowed people to easily go around the internet. It doesn't even exist. And you might use Google Chrome, or you might use Apple Safari, Apple software, whatever it is. But Microsoft ended up in a huge battle that they won to a large extent in terms of being relevant in the internet space. And what was talked about during the course of that that podcast, which was really fascinating, the Business Wars podcast, was how involved Steve Ballmer was, and how you have this impression of Bill Gates as kind of this guy who is, you know, nerdy and not that competitive, and not that, like, that guy is a stone cold assassin if you listen to that Business Wars podcast. And one of his top assistant assassins was Steve Ballmer. And so in retrospect, I feel like I blew it because I didn't give enough respect to Steve Ballmer. Mm. This is a guy who's been throwing elbows and fighting battles in major corporate intrigue for decades. And now he's an owner in the NBA. And there was no way that he was going to allow his brand, his Clipper franchise, to be totally owned by the Lakers. And so in retrospect, he has surrounded himself, whether it's Doc Rivers, whether it's his GM, whether it's the logo, Jerry West, with a lot of really smart people to help him make decisions. And I think ultimately this was in many ways a verdict on the ownership structure and management of the Clippers, which is far and away better than the Lakers. They had the cap room. They had to make a move, and I blew it. I blew it in not saying, you know what, don't discount the Clippers. And the reason why I blew it is I think this is an error that a lot of us make. You tend to overvalue the loudest people and not necessarily value the quiet. And this, to me, fits Kawhi greatly, right? Kawhi is the quiet storm. Back in the day, remember, they may still do it on the radio. They'd have like the music that they called the Quiet Storm channel. Kawhi is the quiet storm. And I think from a pure personality perspective, I never really bought Kawhi wanting to pair with LeBron James. And now I totally get the decision-making, and I'm just disappointed in myself that I listened to all the noise and did not recognize that the Clippers were still as legitimately involved as they were. I listened to all the different analysts out there who told us over and over and over again, hey, it's down to the Lakers and it's down to the Raptors. And look, there is a fear, I think, on some level, no matter what your opinion is being a voice that says something unconventional, right? And usually a lot of times I am that voice because the conventional wisdom is so often just flat out wrong. And it certainly was wrong here, which is why I found that news, that bombshell that landed, to be so satisfying in so many different ways.
Yeah, I think it's good for the league. There's another angle of this that I have continually thought about, and that is, and I think this applies to Charlotte as well, interestingly enough, not paying Kemba Walker, letting him go to Boston, Michael Jordan saying, no, we're not paying you $221 million. You're not worth that because you're not going to win us a championship. The Clippers did the same thing with Blake Griffin a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And that got them some of the assets that they now use.
And with
now,
Tobias Harris.
Exactly. They let Tobias Harris go. They would have had, if Blake Griffin were still there, Clay, they still would have had enough to bring in Kawhi Leonard. But they bet, and they bet right, that Blake Griffin was not going to be enough to entice that elite free agent to come play with him. Kawhi Leonard would have looked at that team with Blake Griffin, and he would not have gone there. It would not have happened. And so Steve Ballmer made the decision that he felt like he had to for the franchise, and he was dead right in doing it. You don't have a choice. When Kawhi Leonard wants to come there, you do whatever it is. You move heaven and earth to get him there, especially when you find out that Toronto was also trying to shop Pascal Siakam and everybody they can find to get both Russell Westbrook and Paul George to go to Toronto to keep Kawhi there, but they didn't have the assets that you did, and the reasons you had the assets is because of Tobias Harris and mainly because of Blake Griffin. The biggest mistake, Clay, that franchises make in pro sports, and we might be about to see it in Nashville, is overpaying the wrong guy. You cannot, it's a fallacious statement to say, oh, they overpaid for Aaron Rodgers. they overpaid for Russell Wilson. You don't overpay the right guy. You keep
it's
the right guy.
It's hard to overpay for greatness.
Exactly, but you can overpay the wrong guy because he's the best guy you think at that point in time. Just because Blake Griffin's an all-star doesn't mean you're going to win a championship with him. Just because you like Marcus Mariota and you think he has potential doesn't mean you keep him here so that he can continually win nine games for you.
Or Jameis Winston or whoever that
exactly.
person is.
Exactly, or Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton's a prime example. How long is he going to be in Cincinnati? Like, eventually you have to either bottom out or you have to make some kind of gigantic splash. And that's what we saw. And the Clippers made the right bet. They let Blake Griffin go, as good as he was, and he was selling tickets, but he was an injury risk, and they wagered that they were not going to be able to land who they needed to land once Chris Paul left. And they got this right, and now they've got both the Claw and PG-13.
All right, so let's talk about this. Is it fair to say that Kawhi's decision was an indictment in many ways of LeBron James? Because I think so, and I don't necessarily mean it in terms of his basketball ability at all. I think Kawhi is, and I did get this right, I think, to a large extent, the anti-LeBron. And I don't mean that as a negative against LeBron. I think there are some players who enjoy the drama that LeBron James creates, probably in your family, whoever you are, and wherever your family is, there are people who create drama, right? That always happens in your friend base. There are probably people who create drama. LeBron James is that person. He enjoys it. Most of the drama makes LeBron James the hero, right? Like, there's always some tragic flaw of a hero in most stories. LeBron James, in his mind, I think his tragic flaw is J.R. Smith doesn't know the score of the game. David Blatt is an awful coach. Dan Gilbert is a bad owner. There's always somebody else out there that is the fall guy for LeBron. And all that drama, all the internet posts on Instagram and Twitter and everything else, that's the anti to the way that Kawhi lives his life. And remember, even just think about the way that LeBron is represented. Rich Paul immediately puts out news that Anthony Davis wants to be traded. We yep. never hear anything about Paul George wanting to be traded at all. And as a result, maybe when you don't go public, the trade ends up working out better. So is this a partial decision for Kawhi Leonard against LeBron James, rejecting the idea of joining the LeBron circus in Los Angeles?
Well, the talk was that LeBron's pitch to Kawhi was, I will be the third option. I will be the facilitator at this point in my career. This is your team, and it's Anthony Davis's team. The problem with that is, I don't care how many times LeBron James says that, and I'm not even saying that he's not being genuine and forthright in believing that that's what he can be. But LeBron James, we've talked about it before, Clay, he's bigger than the league. He soaks up so much attention and so much oxygen, you can't just all of a sudden make him the third option on the team just because he says so. I think this is the indictment for me. I would suggest to you that over the last 2 years, the reason why he was brought to L.A. was to bring other superstars there and form a super team, and he got Anthony Davis. He got the one guy that's also represented by his agent, and he couldn't get anybody else there. That, to me, is a little bit of an indictment on – the bloom is off the rose on I want to play with LeBron James. Guys are realizing, no, I want to go play with other dudes, and we can either compete with LeBron or we can be trailblazers, no pun intended, for Portland. Kawhi doesn't strike me as a guy that wants to go along to get along. He wants to dominate and be an assassin. That's what he's going to do.
Yeah, it's really intriguing to think about in so many different angles. We're going to continue to break it down. Let me ask you this question, because we're about to go with Todd Furman here in the second segment. He's obviously on Lock It In with me. Our final show will be filmed later this afternoon of Season 1, and then we're going to be moving on to Season 2. And he'll tell us the actual odds market. Who would you bet on right now to win the NBA if you had to pick a team to win?
The Clippers. Honestly, I would go with the Clippers, and I can understand Clippers and Lakers both being co-favorites. I think the last I saw was like 3-1 and 4-1. But there's the only other number that I saw out there as the non-gambler that I am that I kind of raised my eyebrows was the Jazz plus 1,400. Because I still think Utah is pretty good. I think Utah has a shot. I still think there's more parity here because you have this NBA Jam version of the NBA where you have duos everywhere. Duo superstars. And that's an NBA that I want to watch. It's a lot more unpredictable. But if you put me up against the wall because of the defense and the fact that three of those dudes on that team for the Clippers can get 30. Lou Williams can go off the bench and get you 30. Paul George and Kawhi can damn sure get you 30. I would go with the Clippers if I had to pick somebody today.
Outstanding stuff as always. Jason Martin will be with us here for the rest of the Monday show. By the way, how'd Thursday and Friday go while I was sitting in for Dan Patrick?
I mean, it's pretty good. You know, the Kawhi thing, thank goodness for Kawhi, because it wasn't a great week in sports, but there was so much speculation as to what he was going to do. You were able to talk about all these various options, and it was relentlessly fascinating. And then he goes ahead and makes the move on the weekend, and now we have the fresh story of, well, now let's evaluate the state of the NBA. We were able to avoid talking about the hot dog eating contest for the most part on Thursday and Friday, which I consider to be a gigantic victory personally.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. By the way, Joey Chestnut under on the number of hot dogs he was going to consume. And my guy Darren Revelle said that a big part of the reason was the heat, that impacts your ability to digest. So that's where we are in the world of sports gambling. We're analyzing how the heat's going to impact your ability to eat hot dogs. I don't know about you. I still did pretty well eating hot dogs over July 4th weekend. All right. Let's go ahead and dive out here. Up next, it's Todd Furman. This is Outkick the Coverage on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Welcome back, Geico Outkick Studios. This is a confident show, sometimes confident when we have Todd Furman on with us. Let's start with this. Later today, in fact, this afternoon, 4:30 Eastern, 3:30 Central, 2:30 Mountain, 1:30 Pacific, we will finish our final episode of Season 1 of Lock It In, which airs on FS1. You are the champion of Season 1. Cousin Sal and I tried to throw some Hail Marys over the weekend, never really rattled your cage at all with the outcome there. But as you kind of look around and survey the landscape of what was the Season 1, by the way, we're coming back for Season 2 sometime in August. We don't know the official return date. But can you believe we've finished, like I think they said, 180 episodes?
That's pretty incredible, the fact that we were able to withstand all the criticism, all the losing picks, and overall the propensity for us to offend our audience and some of the states across this fine country. But it's been one hell of a ride. I couldn't ask for a better supporting cast than to work with you, Cousin Sal and Rachel, on a day-in, day-out basis. But most importantly, I can hold my head up high knowing that I proved my gambling prowess for Season 1, and I have full intention set on defending my title when we kick off Season 2, as you alluded to, in August.
What's your best win? In your mind, like the best gambling victory that you had, was there one week or one bet that you particularly loved that you thought you got a good number on that you thought worked well in your favor? I know you had a lot of wins and you made a lot of money in general on the show, but anything you're most proud of as you go back and reassess?
I think it would be pegging Virginia to win the national championship in college basketball. I mean, we know the improbable fashion and the kind of things that they had to go through from the round of 16 on in, but kind of locking in that future in February, not being fully up to speed in terms of where I should have been at that point for college hoops. And then I look at one of the ridiculous money line parlays because I fell victim to the same fate as you guys played one of them in college football. Paid off at 78-1. Just wish I had more than 10 show dollars on it. Ultimately, didn't end up winning that week, but it's just been a lot of fun. And one thing for me, I'm typically not a big volume player, so coming up with four bets a day over the course of 180 shows to diversify across every sport really was a lot more challenging than I originally would have anticipated.
I think Rachel said on Friday's show that the three of us had bet over 2,000 things, which is pretty wild to think about in 180 shows. To be putting forward those kind of bets is a lot to be looking for every night. All right, let's dive into some of what happened over the weekend and how it impacts things. We haven't talked as much about soccer on the Monday show, but you did have on Sunday the U.S. women win the World Cup, and then the U.S. men lost a really tough 1-0 defeat to Mexico, where I feel like they left three or four goals. I mean, just golden chances on the field. But let's go back and circle around on this. How much liability was there in the U.S. women winning? They were the favorites, but that paid off at 3 or 4-1. How much liability do you think the sports books in general have there?
Most of the books I spoke to took a small loss on that. Nothing close to what it would have been if the men ever win the World Cup sometime before 22-26 or whenever
it may
be. In our
lifetime, yes.
Yeah, exactly, knowing those kind of long shot odds. But books had an idea that people here in the States were going to continue to bet the U.S. women. They tried to stay slightly ahead of it. Didn't get all sorts of balanced action as you didn't have a lot of other teams outside of professional bettors that they wanted to look to back. So it was more match in, match out when books had to adjust some of those prices, and Team USA is able to win inside of 90 minutes against France at a short price. Similar scenario against England. And then, of course, today, or against yesterday, I should say, in the finals against the Netherlands, covering as a one-goal favorite to win that game 2-0. So anytime patriotism trumps people looking to try and necessarily make smart bets, books are always going to be in a little bit of a precarious situation. And the American women continue to exceed expectations from the opener 13-0 against Thailand till the final when they shut out the Netherlands yesterday.
Am I crazy, or did the U.S. men look much better than anticipated in the way that they played, even though they lost? And I know people out there like roll their eyes, you know, we're not in the moral victory business in the world of sports. But I thought they played outstandingly well and really could have easily put up 3 or 4 goals on Mexico. So am I crazy, or did you see the same?
No, I think they played extremely well early on in the first half. Their inability to convert Jozy Altidore's near miss really would have changed the dynamic in this game, the way he was able to be a hold-up center forward there and kind of let everything run through him. I think over the first 45 minutes, we saw glimpses of the future and probably the best American footballer that we're going to see in our generation and maybe our lifetime, and Christian Pulisic be the best player on the pitch. That being said, this is still Mexico's B team that came out to this tournament. A lot of their main superstars stayed away as they wanted to integrate some younger players and a very MLS-heavy roster. And you look at the final shot tally, Mexico with 20 shots, only 5 of which were on target compared to Team USA's 11. And for the second time in a few games, we saw opposition against the United States look like the better side for the final 45 minutes. And I think 1-0 was a very fair scoreline for what we saw last night on Fox.
You just mentioned it, and I know we live in an era where you kind of have to have opinions, and sometimes we overreact on a day-to-day basis. But looking at what Pulisic did on the pitch yesterday, I think that he may well be the best American player that we have ever had, right? And you kind of hinted at that, or even said it outright a minute ago. Is that a crazy opinion, or already at his young age, is he, I mean, he plays, it seems to me, at a different speed and with more creativity. Some of the touches on his head pass that he did a couple of times, the ability to create chances for his teammates, and also usually, I mean, he had one opportunity where I think he'd love to have back that he probably could have finished. But is he the best that we've ever seen already?
Oh, I don't think it's crazy at all to say that. I mean, you look at the opportunities he's been afforded on the European domestic league stage. Didn't get the minutes we probably anticipated. Borussia Dortmund, Chelsea makes a big play to transfer over there. We'll see how many minutes he gets in the EPL. You look at the older generation of American soccer stars, Landon Donovan, Alexi Lalas. Those guys never were afforded. I know it's a much different landscape now, the chance to play for some of the top clubs throughout Europe. And I think that's where Christian's development is really going to raise him heads above everybody else. I mean, we saw Michael Bradley get his 150th cap, which put him in elite company there. But Bradley, at this point in his career, doesn't bring any of that pace. He's kind of that old guard, and I think Pulisic has to bring guys forward. You love the rapport you're seeing him start to build with Weston McKennie. I think there are pieces here for Team USA to build around, but I don't want to put the cart before the horse, knowing that once qualifying starts, that's where rubber will meet the road. And heaven help us if we don't qualify for Qatar, not only for our Fox executives, but the development of the American men's national team from every age group on up.
We're talking to Todd Furman, Monday edition, Outkick the Coverage. Furman, we've been talking about some of the earthquake and its impact. I'm out in Los Angeles still. You were out here for the Wednesday earthquake. And I think, were you flying back to Vegas? Where were you when the Friday one hit?
I was actually sitting on the tarmac at LAX, and of course, the
first
thing
that
came to mind was,
could you feel it on the plane?
I was on the plane. I'm thinking, wait a second, does this mean my flight's going to get delayed? I really want to be home. Tweeted out to Southwest Airlines that I said they were my kind of team. They got us off the ground about 15, 20 minutes after that earthquake hit compared to Summer League at Thomas and Mack Center when the NBA had to shut things down. Now, I know it's an apples to orange comparison, but I would have been much safer or happier, Clay, if I was actually in that Southwest plane in the air rather than sitting on the tarmac. But, yeah, first earthquake and second earthquake for me in the span of, what, about 72 to 96 hours or so.
Did you feel it Like, were you?
Oh, we did feel it. We were kind of looking around the plane, figuring out what was going on. It was that same, well, is this a wind gust or what's going on here? And then, of course, you go to social media like all of us do, and you see, oh, wait, it's a 7.1 earthquake from a very similar epicenter at Ridgecrest. But, hey, we took off, got home in a timely manner, and actually found out from folks here in Vegas that it hit a lot harder here in the desert than the one did on Wednesday, where they only felt a slight rumbling.
All right, you and I both like to pay attention to odds markets because they sometimes tell us a story before the story is public. That didn't happen with Kawhi and Paul George to the Clippers. You could find the Clippers some places 20-1. They're now the favorite. What story are we being told now in the wake of this move?
Oh, I think it's one that it's going to be the Clippers and Lakers vying not only for supremacy within their own building, but for two teams that if they don't win a title this year, it becomes an overwhelming bust. And I think the Clippers, now you want to go out there, you want to get the best stars you can, but they put a ton of pressure on themselves. There is now a target and a bullseye on their back when you pair up Kawhi Leonard with Paul George in the existing cast there, a much deeper roster than what the Lakers will bring to the table. But like you said, this was one of the best-kept secrets, and I don't know if it's a credit to Kawhi Leonard, it's a credit to Jerry West, Steve Ballmer, or a number of other parties who understood what was going on here. But there was no inkling that there was going to be a chance that Kawhi and Paul George would be joining forces the Clippers. We thought Kawhi could end up there, but some of that buzz had died down during the week. But if anybody had an inkling that that was the case, you would have seen that Clippers futures price continue to drop. It didn't move at all up until this became official, and now they've reopened as a 3-1 favorite to win the NBA title.
Should the Clippers be favored?
They should be favored with the star power, and you look at the way this roster is going to be built. Doc Rivers has kind of been a defensive-minded coach in the past, and when you have guys like Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and Patrick Beverley that you can put on the court at the same time, they are going to be extremely difficult to score against in the half court. We factor in playoff scenarios, and I know the Clippers haven't won a postseason series since 2015, but the adjustments that Doc will be able to make, a number of shot makers, this is going to be a fun team to watch, maybe not during the regular season, but when the games matter the most in April, May, and early June, I think the Clippers are going to be right there vying to represent the West in the NBA Finals.
Good stuff as always, Todd Furman. I will see you on Lock It In for our final show of Season 1 this afternoon. Appreciate you hopping on with us this morning.
Always a pleasure, and I'll make sure I pick up an extra victory cigar.
Enjoy. When we come back, we'll break down Lakers-Clippers, the incredible bombshell of Kawhi to the Clippers. That's still to come. This is Outkick the Coverage on Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Welcome back in Geico Outkick Studios. We just heard from Todd Furman breaking down the odds of the NBA now in the wake of the Kawhi Leonard and the decision by Paul George to join him with the Clippers. Let's just dive into these matchups right now. And I'm joined by Danny G, Lakers aficionado, par exemplar. I think I just use a lot of different foreign language words, but basically it means you are a huge Lakers fan. We got Jason Martin, who is sitting in Nashville. And this is the Monday edition of Outkick the Coverage. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. So let's go in here. Furman told us that the Clippers are the favorite to win the NBA title. Out of everybody, there are a lot of teams in the mix who could potentially contend beyond a shadow of a doubt. But who would you prefer to have the starting roster on and the total roster of right now? To me, the Clippers are the team that I would rather have. Now, the thing that you talked about and we've talked about some on this show is injuries can obviously factor in everything else. I think the Lakers panicked in the wake of the decision that Kawhi made. I think they almost immediately made the decision to overpay Caldwell Pope. I think they happened to overpay Danny Green. I think the risk-reward on DeMarcus Cousins is decent. I think Rondo, you kind of know what you're going to get from him on a regular basis. So to me, as I break this down, I think the Lakers, with 35-year-old LeBron James, are substantially worse than what the Clippers can bring to bear. I like the Clippers in terms of their overall talent across the board, more so than anything the Lakers have brought to bear.
You know the numbers don't back that up, though, right?
I saw the early reads on, you know, like
I read a Bleacher Report article where they actually did the war and the analytics on it, and the Lakers' potential starting five has better numbers than the Clippers' starting five.
Yeah, I understand that argument, and certainly analytics have become a big part of NBA analysis in general. But in terms of favoring or not favoring a particular team, I always like to go to the odds market more than anything else, because I tend to think that the odds market is more accurate, and the odds market is telling us right now.
Except for where Kawhi was going to go.
Yeah, and that's a credit, again, I mean, we spent a lot of time on that, but that's a credit to me of the Clippers organization that nothing can get out. And honestly, I think it's also probably a bit of an indictment of LeBron James. I think that Rich Paul and LeBron James have provoked a lot of people who don't like them. And so I think that maybe Oklahoma City was happy because of the way that the Paul George process went down and the Lakers in general, to maybe deal with the Clippers and be in the process kind of sticking up their middle finger to LeBron James. Like, I don't think that Oklahoma City would have been as quick to interact with the Lakers trying to trade for Paul George as they were to do it with the Clippers. Now, having said all that, who would you rather have? Who would you take, Jason Martin? I'll start with you. Clippers versus Lakers. Who has the better roster right now?
From top to bottom, there's some names on both rosters that you don't love. I think the Lakers felt like they had to do something after this. Boogie Cousins, I just rolled my eyes. It's just like, okay.
It's hard to believe that he has very much left. I mean, now maybe he's going to be able to come back, but I mean, just the lift that he had in the playoff series. And look, you can point out and say, you know what, he played in game two really well. He might have been the reason why the Golden State Warriors won that game. But I don't think he has much to bring to bear left in general. So, yeah, I agree with you there.
Yeah, the one guy that I think is unsung, and I said this on my show on Sunday morning here on Fox, I said the guy I want to pay attention to the most on both these two rosters is Kuzma. Mm-hmm. Because I think Kuzma around LeBron and Anthony Davis, I think he has a potential to really turn a corner and become a much better player. But if I had to pick a roster today, I would still take the Clippers, because when you get to the playoffs, the bench shortens. And when I look at the defense that the Clippers can play with Beverly, Paul George, and Kawhi Leonard, I just don't see an answer there. And then I love Lou Williams coming off the bench and getting you 30. I love Harkless. That was a good move. And then I think Harrell really showed up in the postseason this year as well. So I think that they have quietly built a good team, and I really like their head coach as well with Doc Rivers. I give them a little bit of an edge.
What about you, Danny G? How would you break this down?
I mean, I would give a slight edge to the Clippers coaching staff, but I would give the edge to the Lakers starters. And there is an argument to be made about the bench, but I mean, I look at the Clippers bench and they have Sundarius Thornwell and Jerome Robinson and Landry Shamet. That's fine. Terrence Mann. The Lakers, even though they had to do it quickly, they were able to get some size with JaVale McGee, and with him and Anthony Davis and Jared Dudley.
He's 33 years old, dude. Oh, okay. He's going to get you like 8 minutes a game.
Okay, but look at what the bench was last year, Jason. So it is an improvement. Danny Green and Kyle Kuzma is the X factor, because you mentioned you like Lou coming off the bench for the Clippers because he could drop 20-something points on you off the bench. Same goes for Kuzma. I hope Kuzma has a very breakout-type season, and that, I think, would make a big difference for the Lake Show.
Good stuff. We'll continue to break down all these stories. Outkick the Coverage on Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Live from the Geico Outkick Studios. Hope all of you are having a fantastic Monday wherever you may be across the country. I am still in Los Angeles. We're going to film the final episode of season one of Lock It In. I can't believe we've done 180 shows so far in season one. Season two will start sometime in August, so I get a little bit of time off for television. But being out in Los Angeles has been fantastic, because as a result of being out here, I was wide awake still on Friday when news officially broke that Kawhi Leonard was going to be joining the Clippers, and that in addition to joining the Clippers, he was going to be bringing Paul George with him. all of the craziness that has since ensued. Huge part of the story. There are so many different angles to discuss surrounding it. Jason Whitlock's going to join us in the next segment of the show, but I am joined now by Lakers number one superfan, Danny G., by Jason Martin back in Nashville, sitting in with us here on Monday, helping out to break down all of this story. And before we get to Kawhi, I want to ask you, Jason Martin, how much attention have the earthquakes that we've all been surviving out here gotten in the rest of the country? Because I'm still blown away by the process of that we have the earthquake happen at 8:20 Pacific on Friday, and then we have a sports earthquake happen at around 11 Pacific. When you woke up, because you said at the start of hour two of the show that like you were asleep, like a lot of people were on the East Coast when this news broke, did you even see news about the earthquake, or was the Kawhi and Paul George earthquake news totally overshadowing the fact that this was the biggest earthquake, I think, in Southern California in like 20 years,
yeah,
right?
Since 1999, I want to say.
Yeah, that's crazy. So did you hear anything about the actual earthquake, Jason? And are you impressed that I now am extending my knowledge of natural disasters? I'm already the snow czar. I'm one of the greatest experts in snow that there's ever been. I now have become an earthquake expert as well. I've been reading all about earthquakes.
I'm not going to comment on that last part, but in terms of
that I'm
how much coverage
expert,
it got,
I
yeah,
am. There are a few people.
You're not a seismologist.
I am basically a seismologist now. That's how much. That's how much attention I've been playing to Earth. I mean, look, when you're on the 15th floor and your hotel twice in the space of a week starts rolling around like crazy, I mean, I felt like I was on a cruise ship or something. That's how much it was moving. I needed to know what to do. And by the way, the fact that the safest thing to do in an earthquake is get underneath a desk. That is
yes,
crazy.
It's awesome.
That's like
it reminds me of my mom's shelter.
Yeah, my mom said that when they were like really in fear of nuclear war, right, during back in the days of Russian Cold War and everything else, when she was a young girl, they would have nuclear war drills, and what they would do is get underneath their school desks. Can you imagine the response to nuclear war being, "Hey, what you should do is just get underneath your school desk"?
I mean, the whole point of that is just so the cute gals can't see you crying. That's the whole point. It's to give you a place to hide. It's not going to stop an atomic bomb or anything like that.
I got to give credit, by the way. I had just requested an Uber because I was going out to dinner on Friday night, right before the earthquake started. And then the earthquake happens, and I'm, you know, like my Uber's like 4 minutes away or whatever, and I'm not there waiting. And the Uber driver calls. He's like, "Dude, what's going on? Where are you?" I'm like, "Did you not just feel the earthquake? We just got hit by the biggest earthquake in 20 years. I'm sorry I'm going to be 1 minute late for my Uber ride outside of the hotel. I got to figure out to go down. I don't want to get stuck in the elevator or something."
That Uber's tough.
Yeah, that Uber man was a champ. We haven't even talked about this angle, right, of the overall story. What's going to happen now with Russell Westbrook? Because I think that's the final shoe that's going to drop, right? And obviously Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant leaves him for California, and now Paul George has left him for California, and he's a Cali guy who re-upped in Oklahoma City. So where do you think he goes? Who makes that move? Is it the Knicks, who are desperate for relevance? Is this basically the end of Westbrook's career almost? I mean, he's got to be traded now. I mean, that had to be his immediate response when he saw this news come down.
I think Oklahoma City wants to let him go.
Yeah.
He's been there for 11 years. He couldn't win a title when he had Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Serge Ibaka all playing on the same roster with him. He couldn't win a title with an MVP candidate season from Paul George, where he did facilitate and let PG kind of be the number one guy throughout that deal. Well, you know, in the last hour, one of the things that I was talking about was cutting bait on superstars and not overpaying them at the wrong time or keeping them too long. Kemba Walker, get out of Charlotte. Blake Griffin, get out of the Clippers. This Russell Westbrook experiment has to come to an end now. You have 5 first-round picks if you're the Thunder. You get Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who was an all-rookie point guard, who I think has a really bright future in the league. You have to bottom out to try to get elite again, because what are you going to do now? If you couldn't win with the guys that I just listed around Russell Westbrook in his prime, Russell Westbrook now 30 years old and just getting older, who are you going to pair with him? You're going to go try to get Giannis? If you can pull that off, one, I don't think Giannis is going there. I think now you actually still have some value in Russell Westbrook for some of the franchises. I know Miami's interested. I know Houston, which would be a disaster. I can't even imagine him and Harden. Houston makes no sense.
The only way Houston makes sense is, I mean, first of all, that you have three guys who have to have the ball all the time. And the two of the guys that have to have the ball all the time now with Chris Paul and James Harden already don't like each other. That seems like a recipe for utter disaster if Houston, of all teams, makes the move.
Yeah, no, I agree. But if I'm the Thunder, I want him gone because I know I can't win a title with him. Because if you put the guys that I just listened, you couldn't win. I mean, you can't get much better than that. And you have all these picks, so now it's time to get young and just start this whole thing over and rebuild. And part of that rebuild, go ahead and fire Billy Donovan while you're at it, because he's a college coach, not an NBA coach.
One of the problems you have is him and Scott Brooks. There's going to be a massive pursuit of Billy Donovan at the college level, right?
And I think you're right.
That basically, if you're Billy Donovan, in addition to this being the end of Russell Westbrook in Oklahoma City, I think it's effectively the end of Billy Donovan in Oklahoma City, too.
Yes. I think they try to keep Steven Adams around. They have a couple of other young pieces that they like. They like Shai. I think they will move Danilo Gallinari somewhere else. He's a veteran scorer that they can probably get a little bit more capital out of. And then they're just probably not going to be very good, but they have drafted well in the past. They have done a good job. I just don't think at this point you can look at this experiment, if you are the brass, if you're Sam Presti or anybody in that front office, and say, let's just find another superstar and we'll keep this thing going with Russell Westbrook. Eventually, I think you've maxed out what you can do with Westbrook. Either you keep selling tickets with him scoring 65 a game and say, you have the ultimate green light, we don't have anybody else, just go get the greatest stat line anyone has ever seen and make history for us, because we're not going to be relevant when we get to the NBA playoffs. Or you do what smart franchises do, which is cut bait with superstars a little too early rather than a little too late.
All right, Danny G, you are a Laker diehard. You said that you were awake when the news came down, and ultimately now you know you're ride or die with Anthony Davis and LeBron James. All the other moves, if you had to buy a team right now in terms of championship odds, would you bet on the Clippers or the Lakers? Can you be objective enough and point out that the Clippers are the better team?
Well, I think it's going to boil down to who can stay healthy.
Well, certainly.
But that's a huge part of this.
With the injuries that they just had.
Right.
LeBron now coming up on 35. I think you have to be a little bit nervous about him. But
AD has had injuries. But if you look at Kawhi Leonard, who had 22 games of load management, he still was banged up in the postseason. All right. And then Paul George, and you could speak to this, Jason Martin, being a Thunder fan, Paul George has been one of the most injured superstars we've had in the league.
Paul George missed a whole season when he was in Indiana. Kawhi Leonard missed a whole season plus when he was in San Antonio. And how do you feel for your Indiana, by the way? You draft Kawhi Leonard, trade him for George Hill while you already have Paul George. You're about to watch your team in 2019 that you could have had back in 2010.
Yeah, I looked up how many games each of these stars played in their first seven seasons. Anthony Davis, 466. Kawhi, 407. Paul George, 448. LeBron James, 547. So all these guys, except for LeBron, but of course there's the age factor with him, they're walking injuries. We're going to go through this season, and it's going to be a really good battle, because finally, look, as Laker fans, we heard this a few years back. Oh, the Clippers are going to start running the town because of Lob City. They're going to win a couple of championships in a row. No, it didn't happen that way. Clippers still have less banners than Taylor Swift at Staples Center. They pay rent
there.
It's the truth, though. They've always been the redheaded stepchild in Los Angeles. If you were to put the Buffalo Bills into Boston and you had the Patriots and the Bills, the Clippers would be the Bills. Okay, and it's great that they got two stars, but they still got to go out there and win. And
Clippers haven't made a Western Conference Finals in 49 years.
I'm surprised they've ever made one. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the U.S. Women's Big World Cup win, as well as the U.S. Men's tough loss in the Gold Cup. This is Outkick the Coverage on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Welcome back, Geico Outkick Studios, final segment of the show. We haven't talked about it very much. We've obviously talked a ton about Kawhi to the Clippers alongside of Paul George, the impact. I would encourage you guys to make sure that you go download the podcast if you want to hear all of that. But we'll probably talk about this some on Tuesday. But the U.S. women win the World Cup and the men lose the Gold Cup 1-0. So I've got Danny G with me and I've got Jason Martin hanging out. So I want to bring in the crew and ask them this. Did you watch both games? Confession, I watched both games. I woke up, it was early on the West Coast, watched the first one from my hotel room, watched the other one, the Gold Cup, while I was eating dinner. And I know there's a lot of people out there who are going to use the results as evidence of U.S. women's soccer compared to U.S. men's soccer. But I actually left the U.S. men's game very excited about the future, primarily because I think Christian Pulisic is maybe the greatest men's soccer player already, and he's already doing things that others cannot. Now, you heard Todd Furman, if you listened to the whole show, in hour two discussing this, and I think that's a reason for a great deal of optimism. We already knew that our women were the best in the world. I didn't find the game against the Netherlands to be particularly exhilarating. I thought, you know, there was a bad play by the Dutch to give up the goal that Megan Rapinoe scored on. That was a rough kind of situation in general. But as you kind of break this down, did you watch both games, Jason Martin?
Look, I would have watched, honestly, I would have definitely watched the women's game, but it was Sunday, it was church. Plus, I had my show on Fox Sports Radio and another show that I did in Nashville, so I was trying to catch up on just a couple of hours sleep yesterday. And the main reason I didn't watch the women's match, really, I just wasn't too enticed by the match up. The problem for me was the France match was the one that I was super excited about and tuned in very carefully to watch. I also watched the Spain match, and I watched the England match. So it just felt like this one was a bit of a letdown. It felt like it was a foregone conclusion. And as for the men, I looked at some highlights, and I paid attention to kind of what was happening. And it looked like the first half, they had a lot of opportunities. They couldn't cash in, but they played a lot better. The second half, they got outplayed. But you're right, Clay. Pulisic should give a lot of people hope because it does feel like this team, this group, is moving in the right direction. There might be some holes to fill. There might be some guys on that roster that are going to need to be replaced. But I like what I'm starting to see from that unit. They are playing a lot better soccer than they were a couple of years ago. This unit actually feels like one you can get behind and actually get nervous again watching them play soccer because they actually have a chance to win a couple of these things.
Yeah, and not only that, I think what we've always missed in American soccer is we've needed a goal scorer. A guy who can energize people with his ability to kind of take control. Because I think uniquely, American sports are defined by superstars, and we love seeing someone who is one of us kind of taking control of a sport. And we've never really had that. You know, the guys that we've had, look, Clint Dempsey could score, but he was, he wasn't an electric player. Landon Donovan at times did do some things. His goal, I think, against Serbia, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was Serbia that put us into the next round in the World Cup down in South Africa, I think it was. I can't even remember all the time now. But I think you had moments that were incredible and exhilarating and extraordinary. But by and large, they've been few and far between. And when I watch Pulisic, I think, my God, this guy could be the greatest American soccer player of all time. Now, some people would say, well, that standard is not very high, but I think it is important to be raising the standard and continuing to grow it. Now, there's going to be a lot of people who want to divide us, and they're going to say, oh, the women are really good and the men stink. Well, again, I'll talk about this some tomorrow on the show, but by and large, the men are legitimately competing against the whole world. And the women are competing against a relatively small number of countries that are wealthy enough and provide enough women's rights for there to be large numbers of women that actually play sports at a high level in their country to begin with. What about you, Danny G? Did you watch both of these soccer matches?
Yeah, I did. My whole life I've been in on the World Cup. Love World Cup soccer. Now, I'm just a casual soccer fan, but it was great watching the women again hoist another trophy, and that goal by Rose Lavelle.
That was pretty outstanding.
Man, she's got next. Those moves she put on, I had a lot of fun watching that. And the men, they held tough. I know there were some backup Mexico players in there, but still, the men's team, we have some hope, as you guys have been pointing out, and that's good enough for right now.
I think building around Pulisic, I mean, he is, if you have the greatest player to ever play the game, and he's in your country, and he's young, and again, I'm not saying that he is ranks very highly in the world at all, but there is the possibility that, assuming we can qualify for the World Cup in 2022 in Qatar, that we could be pretty solid if we're built around him over the next 3 years, if he continues to get better. You don't know what his ceiling is, but already just in the limited amount of time that I've seen him playing for the U.S., he has gotten infinitely better. I appreciate all of you, by the way, hanging out with us on the Monday edition of Outkick. We obviously spent a ton of time talking about Kawhi, talking about Paul George to the Clippers. Encourage you to make sure you go download the podcast. One more day for me in Los Angeles on Tuesday. Also would encourage you, and thank you for all the support you've already shown me, to DVR or watch our final episode of Season 1. I think it's going to be a lot of fun on FS1 for Lock It In. This has been Outkick the Coverage. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us here on Fox Sports Radio.